set in for maybe another hour or two, so nobody's in a hurry to go home, right? Yeah? Nobody wants to get wet, so. No, I think I've got around 15 minutes, so I'll try to stick with that. I try to communicate every time I come up here preaching. I don't do it as much as I should in Sunday school class, but I do try to do it here preaching. I communicate that I'm thankful for the opportunity, and I know that's the right thing to say, but I sincerely mean it. So thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. And I just love preaching. And I love preaching to y'all. I don't like preaching at y'all, but I do love preaching to you. Now, you may not like my preaching, but that doesn't matter because I'm just going to preach. So you're stuck with me tonight one way or the other. But I am thankful, seriously, for the opportunity from Pastor and then church. I'm thankful. I love you guys. This wasn't in my notes. Thank you for welcoming me into this church. I'm glad to be here. Praise the Lord for it. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12. I'm glad I got that out of the way. Whew. Proverbs chapter 12. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in America. Now, when I was researching the statistics on this, there's a lot of subcategories that fell under this big umbrella of heart disease. There's categories such as coronary artery disease, heart valve disease, or cardiomyopathia. That's a $5 word there. But all these categories made up this big category of heart disease. And so these statistics that I read, they're a little dated. They were back in 2021, 2020. But they said every 33 seconds in America, someone dies from some form of cardiovascular disease. So in 2021, almost 700,000 people lost their life due to heart disease. The year before that, in 2020, around 800,000 people lost their life due to some kind of complication of heart disease. So if you do the math, you average it out, around 20% of the American citizens that die every year die as a result of heart disease. That's a big number. Now, most of you know, all of you maybe know that my wife, Caitlin, she's a dietitian. And so I asked her advice, okay, you know, if somebody comes to you with heart disease or maybe they have a family history of heart disease and so they're at risk for it, you know, what's a good diet for them? What's a heart-healthy diet? Okay, something more than Cheerios or Bayer aspirin. And so this is what she gave me. And she didn't say this, but I'll say it for her because I've heard her communicate this. You can't just cookie-cut a diet for every single person, okay? It's got to be specifically tailored to you. But what she did give me was kind of a good starting point for anybody with heart disease. She said you need, first off, you need fiber-filled foods like beans, nuts, and seeds. You need lean meat like chicken, salmon, tuna. If you're not a fish person, you're stuck with chicken, okay? Chicken, and moe chicken, okay? So I hope you like chicken. Your mom was right. Grandma was right. Eat your vegetables. Or as Caitlin likes to say, make sure there's plenty of color on your plate. Okay, so green, that means green beans, broccoli, celery, Brussels sprouts, lima beans, I think they're a vegetable, squash, zucchini, carrots, okay? I like corn and I like peas, but those are starchy vegetables, which aren't as good for you, so she won't cook them for me, and we're fighting about it right now. Please be on my side with this. Speak a word to her. So while following these guidelines, it's not going to offer 100% guarantee that someone is going to make it out of the heart disease, you know, free and clear, okay? That's not 100% guarantee. Or someone that is at risk for heart disease is not necessarily going to reduce your risk either. But it's a good place to start. I'm here to inform you tonight that there's something out there. There's a condition out there that is far more deadly than heart disease. It's far more dangerous, and it's much more prevalent. Now, I can't look at any of y'all. I know those in the medical field can identify, a trained eye can identify maybe there's something wrong with them, diabetes or, you know, liver damage. So some people can identify that, but I cannot look at you and identify you have diabetes or you have heart disease or you're prone to lung cancer. I can't identify that. But the condition that I am speaking of tonight, it can be identified easily on a person, okay? It's identified on the mom in line at the supermarket or the dad in the stands at the T-ball game. or the girl in gymnastics class, or the boy riding his bike. It can be identified in the person sitting next to you in the pew, or behind you, or in front of you. It can even be identified in the person in the mirror staring back at you in the morning when you're brushing your teeth. This condition is known as a heavy heart. The side effects are anxiety, fear, sorrow, uncertainty, doubt, confusion. The list goes on and on and on. A heavy heart is manifested in many numerous ways. The bad news, there's bad news. No pill is going to cure your symptoms. There's no transplant list that you can get on, because one heart is just as susceptible to the symptoms and the disease as the next one. Doctors, they don't have the answer. Diet and exercise, I hate to tell you, it's not going to affect you positively when you're suffering from a heavy heart. Now, as I look out at the congregation tonight, I have a long list here. I may not go through all of them, but there's those of you who I know from either the prayer list or in conversation, you're suffering from a heavy heart, a heart full of sorrow, anxiety, fear, doubt, confusion. You're suffering from a heavy heart. One man that came to mind when I was writing this was Brother Chastain. Okay, I haven't known Brother Chastain long. He's not here tonight. I've never met his wife, okay, but I've seen, he loves to show pictures of her, and he'll show me pictures when we talk about her in conversation. And I know from his testimony that he tries to see her every day, or almost every day, he tries to go and visit her. And from my understanding, she doesn't have her mind anymore. Okay, Alzheimer's, I believe, I think is what it is. But he loves her dearly. And if you talk to him about her, that's pretty evident. He loves her. But their relationship, the dynamics changed. It's not what it used to be. Okay, they used to laugh together, cry together, read the Bible together, go to church together. But they can't do that anymore. That's heavy. That's a heavy burden that that man has to bear. Mrs. Cindy Roundtree, I think you're 5 or 6 months in, unemployed. Still unemployed. 7 months in. Okay, the clock is, I mean, it's still rolling. Now, I think it's been said in jest. Can they hear me out in the foyer? Maybe? Okay. I can see Brother Paul out there. I've heard it's been said in jest that he's pretty tight with his money. Is that accurate? No? Okay, maybe I misheard that. But I'm going to assume that they're frugal, they're good stewards of their money, and that tonight they're not going to sleep under a bridge. But I'm certain that after 5 months, 6 months, 7 months of being unemployed, that there's a little bit of anxiousness. Like, Lord, we've been trusting you. We know your word. You're going to take care of us. But Lord, I still have a lot to offer. I'm well qualified. Why aren't the doors opening? That can be a heaviness in a heart. I think of the families with young children. Brother Mike and Mrs. Katie Boyd, the LaBarges. We got Brother Andrew and Mrs. Courtney Boyd, the Baldwins, the LaRues, that they're raising young children in this sin-sick world. And it's going downhill fast. It's not getting better. And first and foremost, I believe that these parents would testify that they want their children, when they come to the age of accountability, they want their children to give their heart to Jesus Christ. That's the number one goal that they want for their kids. And then after that, they want their kids to follow the Lord and love the Lord all the days of their life. But they can't keep their children captive in their homes forever, no matter how much they want to. So there's going to come a day when they'll have to say, I've taught you everything I know. I've instructed you in the Word of God. It's your decision now. And that's got to weigh, and it may not weigh as heavy because their children are still young, but it's going to get heavier and heavier the more that their children have the ability to make decisions and to make wrong decisions. That, Lord, have I done enough? Have my wife and I, have we done enough for our children to be successful in this life? That could be a source of anxiety, of sorrow, of heaviness, of, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I think of Pastor and Mrs. Dory. When I was an intern, I got to go with Pastor on some visits to see the people of the church that were in the hospital. And I'll just say this too, that, you know, he's been your pastor for decades and my pastor for a few months, but I feel like he's been my pastor my whole life because it's evident that he loves us and he loves you. And I got to see firsthand that your burdens, the burdens of this church, are his burdens. Don't think that he doesn't lay awake at night praying for you, worrying about you. He loves you dearly. He loves me dearly. Or maybe we've got an issue in our life of, hey, pastor, I need your advice. Tell me what to do. What does God's word say? Help me out. And he gives us some good instruction, and we do the exact opposite. Lord, I tried to tell them. I tried to point them in the right direction, and they're just hard-headed. Because sheep are hard-headed. We're dumb sometimes. We make stupid choices. And that weighs on that man. That's heaviness on his heart. That's heaviness on the heart of his wife. Newlyweds. The gay Mrs. Sydney. Caitlin, myself. There we go, get it right. Newlyweds. I know when we were dating that I wrote letters, wrote her sweet notes. I mean, I was the romantic, I didn't even know the word I'm looking for. But I was a romantic, and I still am, but it's not as prevalent. It's not as apparent anymore. You know, I've kind of slacked in that. And I'm sure she misses that. I know she misses that. And she used to look at me with those puppy dog eyes. Not anymore. She just rolls her eyes at me now. So I know that example, and Brother Gabe, I'm not even going to, I'll leave that with y'all, but that example, that's a little lighter, okay? But that could still be newlyweds when you're learning to live with somebody. They've got some weird habits, you know, they're awkward at times. You're like, did I really marry this person? It's too late now. But that's a fact. It can be in a relationship. There can be some heaviness, okay? And I don't think I have to keep going. I think of the Schroeders, and I got to talk with Brother James this morning about his mother-in-law, but dealing with her mother there, and she's a few hours away, and you know, I don't know the exact situation, but heaviness, sorrow, anxiety. Lord, what's going to happen? If something does happen, I'm a few hours away. I can't get there in time. What am I saying? We all have, or have had, are having, or will have, a heavy heart. Some source of heaviness in our life. Sorrow, anxiety, fear, uncertainty. That's the bad news. The good news. I brought my medical journal with me tonight. Amen. And I hope you brought yours. Because this gives us the cure. And it's going to tell us how someone can recover from a heavy heart. So Proverbs chapter 12. I trust you're there and I'm not, so let me get there. Proverbs chapter 12, I almost did something I've never done, and that's only preached from one verse tonight, but the more I studied it, I just had to add some more. But look at verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Now stop there. Don't cheat. Don't look ahead. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. I wanted to have a balloon for this illustration, but I didn't get one, so you just have to use your imagination. That word stoop, okay, what Solomon's communicating here. The heaviness is what I've communicated, the sorrow, the anxiety, the fear. There's a lot of synonyms there. He says it makes a heart stoop. What is he saying? Imagine a balloon, okay? I just got this big balloon right now, okay? So this balloon represents the joy of the Lord in your life. Okay, you're on the mountaintop, you're skipping along, you're singing hymns, you're shaking everybody's hand, you got a grin from ear to ear. God is good, praise the Lord. I love you, brother, I love you, sister. You're happy. It's going good. But then something comes along. A trial, a sickness, a financial burden, a broken relationship. Whew. Heaviness makes your heart stoop. It means depress. It's depressed. It's squeezing all the air out of your balloon. When you were flying high and now crash landing. Heaviness, sorrow, anxiety, fear, worry. It's a burden on our hearts, and it brings us low. The shoulders start slumping. Amen. Our smile maybe turns to a frown. But what's the second half of the verse say? But a good word, a good word, a good word maketh it glad. A good word spoken at the right time can be a balm to a weary soul. You never know when you go to your brother, your sister, your spouse, your friend. Just say a kind word. You don't have to be biblical and open up to Ezekiel chapter 48. Just, hey, I'm thinking about you. I've been praying for you. Amen. Hey, I appreciate your smile. Amen. Hey, I appreciate your encouragement. A good word spoken at the right time can be a balm to that heavy heart. Because you never know what someone's going through. Or, I think it's well communicated in this church when we do have burdens. I mean, we have a prayer list and we try to communicate with one another. Hey, I'm going through this. Pray for me. So maybe you do know. Well, don't forget to, it's one thing, yes, pray for each other daily. But let's communicate with one another too. Hey, I'm praying for you. Amen. I've been thinking about you. You're on my prayer list this week. That's balm to a weary soul. Example. And again, this isn't a heavy example, but it's an example nonetheless in my own life. A pastor, he's asked me a few times now to lead congregational singing. I took a class in college. I don't feel like I'm musically inclined. I don't feel like I have a very good voice, but I'm still thankful for the opportunity. I'm glad to do it. I don't try to get up here with a sour face and try to lead us in singing. But still in the back of my mind, I'm like, am I hitting the right notes? And do I sound like a chicken? You know, do I look silly just waving my arms? You know, I miss the beats sometimes. I get off. How do I recover? All these things going through my mind of, man, I'm not cut out for this. I'm not Brother Colt. I mean, the man is gifted. I think that's pretty evident. I'm not that music guy. But it almost every single time that I've led songs up here on a Sunday morning, when I close the hymn book and go over here and stand next to Brother Rick, he says, hey, good job. Under his breath, just real light. Hey, good job. Hey, that was good. And so what was a source of anxiety of, man, am I doing okay? Am I making a fool of myself? Is God pleased with this? Brother Rick comes right alongside and says, hey, that's good. Amen. Good job. Another man, and a lot of people have said this, so and I thank you for that. Seriously, I thank you for that. Another man this morning. Now, he's well known around here as being a kind of a jokester, Brother Jerry Morrow. And so when he grabbed me, I was like, oh, here we go again. He's about to get me. But he said, hey, you do a good job up there. Keep it up. I appreciate it. Good job. And I don't remember the exact words, but that's what he was communicating. He was encouraging me. He was being a balm to my anxiety. That's what we need to be to one another. Because heaviness makes a heart stupid. Takes all the air out of our bubble. But a good word maketh it glad. Amen. Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, how good is it? There's an exclamation point in there. How good is it? A word spoken in due season. At the right time, it's a good thing to communicate the goodness of the Lord and our love and our thankfulness for one another. More verses to just reinforce this. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Pleasant words. That word pleasant, it has another connotation of beautiful words, lovely words. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So here's the challenge tonight. Let's not apply this tomorrow. Let's not apply this next week. Let's apply this tonight. Are you ready? Are you up for a challenge? Amen. Okay, amen. Three of you are. Are you up for a challenge? Amen. Amen. Before you walk out of those sanctuary doors, or before you walk out of the foyer doors, get in your car and leave. Find your brother, find your sister, whoever they are, and give them a good word. If you know of a situation in their life, what they're going through, what they're about to go through, say something to encourage them. And don't be a robot. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, I'm going to trust that you know what to say. Find somebody tonight, before you leave this building, and give them a good word. Be a balm to their weary soul. Or maybe no one is going through anything at all. Maybe we're all flying high. That doesn't mean we can't give a good word to one another. Because there's going to be next week, and something's going to come along. And they can look back and say, you know what, I'd be down in the dumps, but I know God's word, and I know what this sister said to me last week. And I'm so thankful she said that then, because the Lord knew I would need it today. So that's the challenge tonight. Before you leave here, say a good word to somebody. Amen. And I want to lead by example if they can hear me. Brother Andrew, can you hear me? Is he out? He can't hear me. Okay. I'll say it, and I'll have to say it to his face. Brother Andrew is a police officer. We all know this. And he's not from my understanding, he's not on patrol pulling people over, writing tickets. He kind of does more things with house to house. No less dangerous, okay? I've seen some shows. I've heard some stories. You never know who's going to open the door and what they're going to be holding, okay? And when you're evicting somebody, they might not be too pleased about that. So he has a dangerous job. And I'm sure people aren't just like, Officer Boyd, thank you for your public service and kicking me out of this house. Yeah. He's not getting a whole lot of thank yous in his line of work. And not only from the people that he's evicting, but from the spirit of our nation as a whole, we don't enjoy, our nation is not enjoying authority or law enforcement. Okay, there's a big push to kind of get rid of them, push them aside. We don't need them anymore. We don't want their yoke upon us. So he's not getting a whole lot of thank yous. So I want to say publicly to him, on behalf of his public service, thank you, Brother Andrew. Thank you for the work that you do. But also right now, and I know I forget about this almost every service, but I can sit in that pew and be at total peace. And I can focus on what pastor's preaching. I can sing the songs. And I don't have to worry about some crazy man coming in here with a knife or a gun, because I know Brother Andrew Boyd many times is out there guarding our backs. And he's not the only one. There's a rotation. I don't know the whole rotation, but there's a lot of men that are out there, service after service, watching our backs. And they're not in here with their families because they're protecting us. Amen. How many times do we stop and say, hey, thank you for that. I know you didn't get to enjoy that message or get to enjoy that special because you were out here. Thank you. And so I want to say again to him, thank you. Thank you for the service that you do to our community, but thank you for the service that you do to our church, keeping us safe. So there's your challenge tonight. I've tried to lead by example. Here's your challenge. Is find somebody before you walk out these doors and be an encouragement. Give a good word to them, because their heart, it may be flat as a pancake, but a word fitly spoken, you may pick them right back up.
Amen.
Give them the courage. Give them the hope to just keep going another day.
Amen.
Let's stand. Heavenly Father,